performed at the end of the wedding. So this is the most touchy part of the wedding, when mother and father and everybody, all the relatives, say goodbye to her, to the bride.
That is true.
And the king of the solo singing, Sergio, will perform this for you.
Thank you.
Ja, hallo, hier ist Felicia Herrschaft mit der Universalsendung, mit einem Gast, eigentlich mit zwei Gästen, Pavel Braila.
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 Braila. Okay, sorry. It's like Paella, okay. But sorry.
Yeah, okay, no problem. Yeah.
Yeah, so.
No, it's always. That's...
And Vera.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Vera Kachel.
So you're both from Moldavia.
Yes, yes.
So... We hear now in the background Los Habicaces. So they played yesterday in the Schauspiel Frankfurt. So that's why the recording is a bit overloaded. But maybe you like to explain very quick what Los Habicaces means. Mexican hits from Chisinau and from Moldau.
Yes, Los Habicaces, in fact, it's a project that appeared, like, it's very fresh. Maybe it has, like, 2 months old when we started this, but the idea of Los Habicaces came from another project called M&M, Mexico Moldova. That's the idea. This idea I had, like, a few years ago, when I was studying in Jan Van Eyck Academy, and I met some friends from Mexico, and then so I wanted to make something with this country. And then last year I had this opportunity to meet guys from Nuevos Ricos who are also from Mexico, and then so the idea of Eminem was quite clear. But the band Los Habicazas came, so the title of the band came maybe a few months ago, because Los Habicazas means, in fact, cover band. The thing is that Habicari in Moldova is all those musicians who are playing at the wedding parties, private parties, big parties, small parties, whatever. So when usual singers or so players who just play very famous songs, and you invite them, so they play the music that you like, everybody is satisfied, and the musicians, but in fact all those musicians, they are just musicians, you know them by name, they don't have any title of the band, no names. And I decided to not to be ashamed of this that you are covering, but Habikar in the slang among the musicians is like not so nice word, in fact. So it's like Habika means like you are doing covers, but even not covers, because there is, it's quite complicated to explain, so I don't know the meaning of this word. But in fact Habikadzes means Habikari and Kamikadzes, musicians who are playing at the wedding parties, and at the same time they are suiciders. So this would be easier probably.
Yeah, so they play on weddings and on birthdays.
Yeah.
So we will listen to another track now.
Super.
Who was this singer, you?
Ala.
Oh,
First thing that I want to do, I would like to say hello to all Los Habikazes now, because they are now in the car and they are listening to this program, and I hope that they are enjoying it, and they should know that they did a very great job, and I want to thank them for all they did, because it was really fantastic performance, and I hope that this project will only launch them to the bigger concerts and venues and whatever. I really hope so Los Habikadze will grow up and we'll do more covers.
Yeah,
but really good ones.
Yeah. So they are on the way to Moldavia.
Yeah, they are now on the way to Moldavia. They are on a minibus. 12 people, one guitar.
12 people?
Yeah, but it's a bus, so we rented a bus and they came.
Wow. And did they bring the food? No, the food was really from your parents, this homesick.
No. The food was, yeah, Moldovan food, it was, yeah.
That came by bus.
Came by Euroline, yeah.
So they will be 70, how many hours is
long? No, it's
long?
30 hours.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we wish you a good trip.
Drum boom, Machia.
Drum boom, Machia. What did you say?
I said, hello, Machia.
No, no.
Have a nice trip, yeah.
No macchiato.
It's fantastic.
Okay, in this book, Chisinau.
Yeah, Chisinau.
Chisinau. Oh my God. Sofia, Pristina, Sarajevo, Warsaw, Zagreb, Ljubljana. You wrote the text and... yeah, I will read a part of this text, Planet Moldau. And maybe then we can talk about other projects.
Okay.
Als irgendwann 1984 ein Wunder geschah und die Bellamy-Serie, die auf Guy de Maupassants Roman beruht, ausgestrahlt wurde, erklärte die ganze Stadt unisono, ein Kerl mit drei Damen, alle zur gleichen Zeit, und leckte sich dabei die Lippen. Ich war damals 13 und diese Serie zu sehen war extrem wichtig für mich. Erstens wegen der erotischen Szenen. Es war das erste Mal, dass ich nackte Frauenkörper im Fernsehen sah. Und zweitens, das war nicht weniger wichtig, damit ich in meiner Klasse auf dem Laufenden war, bei allen Details mitreden konnte und auf diese Weise zu einem vollwertigen Mitglied der Gesellschaft wurde. Leider hatte ich nicht so viel Glück wie die 293 Millionen Menschen, die Bellamy sahen und jeden Morgen zur Arbeit hetzten, um mit dem gesamten Kollektiv über den Film zu diskutieren. Meine Eltern waren nämlich auch ein vollwertiger Teil der Gesellschaft und wussten, was Sache war. Und das schränkte die Fernsehzone für mich zu bestimmten Zeiten deutlich ein. Bedauerlicherweise konnte ich die Serie also nur zum Teil ansehen und ging am nächsten Morgen keineswegs gut gelaunt zur Schule, denn es war klar, ich würde mich nicht an der Unterhaltung meiner gesamten Klasse beteiligen können. Ich träumte von einem eigenen Fernseher in meinem eigenen Zimmer. Und dann geht es eben weiter. Maybe I read another part, because then I think it's more clear why really wish a TV for your own.
Go ahead. Yeah.
This was still to serve its time when you were... Okay, alles verlief glatt und ruhig, bis im April 1985 das Zentralkomitee der KPDSU einstimmig
Michael Gorbatschow
zum Generalsekretär der Partei wählte. Hier kommt die Perestroika. Gemeinsam mit einer freundlichen Haltung gegenüber dem Westen sowie der Rede-, Bilder- und Gedankenfreiheit in allen großen Organisationen und nachgeordneten Institutionen kam es zu Veränderungen. Ich werde hier nicht aufzählen, was alles in der Euphorie dieser Zeit geschah, denn es war alles zu viel und es kam sehr plötzlich. Ich möchte lediglich über den letzten Seufzer des staatlichen Fernsehens sprechen, das mittlerweile in den letzten Zügen lag, und darüber, wie dieser neue Wind in unserem Viertel und jenseits davon aufgenommen wurde. Die ersten Injektionen Seifenoper. Das war, es war Ende 1988. Yeah, okay, that would be interesting. 1988. So something is coming to an end. So what happened when you were... when you reflected this time of when the perestroika came to...
For me, because I wasn't so I probably, in 98 I was 17 years old, so 17 years. I was 17, so when you're 17 you don't really pay attention to what's going on around. So you...
I was a student
at the time, but I felt it in my family. So when, because in, with the collapse of Soviet Union, my parents together with all other families, so they lost all the, so many people lost jobs or whatever, but the main thing was that they lost all their saves. So all the money that my parents collected, and not only my parents, the parents of my girlfriend and the other parents, so it was the same situation. So you got naked in one day. And you have to start the life from the beginning, in fact. So that was... Now I can analyze it and can say what was for my parents to see when you have two kids. So my sister is younger than me and you have nothing in front of you. So behind, like, no saves, nothing. You have to start the life almost from the very beginning. And so it was tough, I think. And then it was all those political changes, everything. So it was an euphoria, I think, of... many things combined with so-called freedom and so-called democracy. So-called? No, because we are hoping that it's a democratic country, but I think we still have a lot to do to get it to the high-level democracy.
Yeah. So probably you, maybe you could you remember the time when you then started to think about doing art?
When was it? It was... No. I started to think about doing art in 1994. After I finished... No, I was... Probably I was dreaming somewhere, like unconsciously, to do something. But I didn't have any access. I was studying in the Polytechnical University, so for me it was still beyond any dreams. It was really far. And then, so after I graduated, I was absolutely sure that I don't want to be an engineer. So it wasn't for me, so... And then I met a friend of mine, Vadim Henko, who taught me how to... showed me how to make photos, and I started to do photography, and then slowly I moved to video, and so on, so... And then in 97, I applied to the Jan van Eyck Academy in Holland, and then it started... So really, on international level.
Maybe Vera, could you? I don't know. If you like,
no.
What?
The no, year 88. Yeah. I don't remember.
98.
Yeah. 89.
When
89? I was born late 18, so.
Okay.
I don't remember. Sorry.
She's from 84. She's from 84.
84. Okay. So maybe, but maybe you remember when you, the time when you started to think about doing art.
her parents thought
like,
about her.
I was like 10 years old, so I did art school, art high school, art university, and I just finished it. Now I'm thinking about economy.
So like. Artists always doing
yes,
this.
Yes.
Yes. It was a joke.
It was a joke, okay.
Yeah.
Art forever.
No, but art is also an economy, so especially in our time. I think art is, yeah, it's the same business now as any other big industry. You can see it. It's not anymore like so pure and innocent and whatever. Art now, it's a business, so... Artists have to be aware. And to be an artist now, you have to be really universal. You don't have to be only an artist. To be in like creative, it's not enough.
Yeah.
You have to be universal soldier. Yes.
Well, universal soldier.
Yeah,
it's nice. You are here in the radio show. It's called Universal.
Really? Oh, sorry. And it's Universal Radio for universal artists.
That's right, yeah. interesting would be to talk maybe about a little bit about the history of Moldova. Because in relation...
You mean history of New Moldova, of New Moldavians.
Yeah, the New Moldavians, I mean the... Habikatzes are New Moldavians.
New Moldavians, yes, absolutely.
As well,
yeah.
So you as artists are New Moldavians as well. And you said yesterday, because a lot of people are always leaving Moldavia because of the poverty and all these reasons. The problem is that they don't think, that they don't know that everything is changing when they leave the country. So what is changing permanently? Or is that something what you observe as normal, that things
you mean
are always
in Moldova now, what is changing?
Or what is changing that they feel disappointed when they are coming back that something changed? And that was
It's changing that people are leaving. When people are leaving, country become poor. Not in the physical way, I mean in moral way, because who are living? The best ones are living because they understand that they have not enough space to realize themselves, and they are living. Then workers are middle-aged people, like let's say from 25, like really most active labor class, from 25 to 45, 55, something like this, yeah? They are living because they can do something, they want to do something, but there is no possibility to realize themselves in Moldova, and so they're looking. And also the existential problem is the first one. When you have kids, and when you want to eat, you are not thinking about anything else. So you cannot tell about contemporary art to people who are starving. So this is cruel reality. And it's not people who have to decide, the government have to decide, but also to choose the right government, you have to be educated, you have to understand that politics is not an easy thing, so you have really not to trust 100%, you have to analyze. And the situation now, it's so, we are still, let's say, 15 years old. This year was 15 years old of independence. People are not used yet to make a right choice. They have no idea. People are still dreaming. A big part of those who are, for example, choosing the communist, they still dream that communists will be back, and they are dreaming about the old time. Of course, it's stupid, and it's like, I don't know, naive to believe in this. Young generation, they don't give a shit. For them to, no, probably, I also wouldn't go to elections when I'm 14, 15. I mean, 16, 17, when you're allowed. So because, yeah, it's everywhere. In all other countries, the same. So young people, they're caring about how to enjoy life, to look on the brighter side. And those people, like, let's say from 25 to 45, those who have to really make a right choice, they're outside of the country. And here we go. This is the situation. We need another probably 10, 15, 20 years when the new generation would come, who would be already well-educated, well-prepared, and to make a right choice, to choose the right government who would lead the country into the right direction. Let's listen to some Los Habikatzes now, because it's too sad, all this.
Okay.
Băieți drum bun și ascultați-vă!
Yeah, I just passed you this news. Just gave you this news about the Romanian president who wants to be united with
Moldova.
Moldavia.
Yeah.
What do you think about it?
I think
because so many people believe end of the year,
no,
the country probably.
It was a discussion
be
between him and students, and he proposed this. It wasn't an official. It was just a discussion, a free discussion, not official. He never did this on official level. So, but yeah, it was taken by media and presented this. No, it wasn't a joke. It was a nice
conversation,
and probably his rating started to grow up in Moldova. And then the students, yeah, many students went into the street to ask from our government to join this and to support this. But there was nothing official. It was just, yeah, a simple phrase thrown in the air.
So what do you think about this? Would be a chance to come into
it
the
EU? It would
EU
be a chance, and there are so many chances to join the EU, but
it <My bad. laughs>
yeah, they have to be supported, and they have to be done like on official level, not only throwing words into the air.
Yeah, that's right. So, and Shisnia, what do you think? it's like, yesterday you said it could be like a museum.
No,
is it a museum, or what is it? Could you describe it a bit?
City.
Can you give us a picture
city
of this museum?
It's a nice town. I like it very much. A bit, now it's a bit.
What would you exhibit?
I don't.
I think it's Vera, she's in love now with Berlin.
Oh, it's a nice city. Without Heizung.
yeah.
Because we just arrived from Chisinau like 2 days ago.
Yeah.
And it's a bit cold outside, like minus two. But in my Wohnung.
House,
it's no heating.
There was no heat, yeah.
Yeah, so it's not so nice. So maybe the city looks good, but still you have this.
Yeah, there are a lot of problems.
Small.
Also this transport, this everything, but I'm always looking on the nice side of this.
Background.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's difficult, yeah. And I'm also, I don't know. If to go like to the, because a big part of the country, I mean, they live really poor. So it's, this is the reality, and that's why people are living. So because they really want to, if government is not supporting them, at least they could support themselves by earning money somewhere else. But this is in every poor country, I think.
It looks like San Francisco.
Yeah,
Chisinau. It looks like San
it's
Francisco.
It's not LA, but
San Francisco.
Not so far.
We just need an Eiffel Tower, but like it would be Paris. It's a Paris without Eiffel Tower.
Mexico. Yeah,
Tirana.
Whatever.
Tirana.
Okay.
It's a mix.
It's a mix.
No, the problem, the thing is that Chisinau was destroyed during the Second World War, so it was absolutely destroyed. So it's a new city. We have few areas which still are supposed to be like old city, old town. But yeah, there is not so many buildings that remained after the Second World War. And the infrastructure, the transport system, everything is now a bit chaotic. But it's nice. I think I know many people who came to visit this city, so they liked it and they want to come back. Some more music.
Wait a second.
Okay.
Because it would be good. You are running, I don't know if you are doing this together, running this magazine of contemporary art in TV. How is this now organized? What kind of TV stations do you have?
And it's a national TV station.
Yeah.
Moldova One. And the project started 3 years ago. Then we developed, because at the beginning it was quite new, and the idea came also like with Los Habikadzes. It was supported by Relations. And yeah, when I met first time Katrin Klingan, she described me about relations, and she asked me, what do you think, what we could do something in Moldova to be really seen by general public and by big public. And I said, why not to make a TV program on contemporary art, because this would be something really nice. And they say, is it possible to get the air time? Because this is the most complicated here in the West. Air time is costing a lot of money, and no one TV program, no one TV channel will accept to have a contemporary art magazine in general. If they would accept it, it would be like 3 or 4 o'clock in the night time, and only once a week or something like this. And in Moldova, yeah, it's twice a month, not every week, because so it's quite complicated to do. It's a small team. But the interesting thing about this program is that it's broadcasted on national TV, but it is produced, it's done by artists, not by professional TV makers. And yeah, it's 30 minutes. It is broadcasted every second Saturday on national TV at Saturday, 11 o'clock in the night. So it's,
yeah,
it's a prime time.
Prime time, yeah. Yeah. And what do you present? What are the artists doing in the TV?
We have 4 blocks. It's Alte Arte Reportage, where we describe different things, what's going around, like, or maybe a portrait of an artist, portrait of an artist, at some events, exhibitions, what's going here, there. If we have material from abroad, I mean from the West, it's nice. Sometimes it's difficult because we don't have budget to travel. But, I mean, we try to cover events from Moldova, Romania, Ukraine, and Russia. So, and so this is Alte Arte Reportage. Then we have Alte Arte Studio, where we invite an artist to produce an art piece, especially for TV. It doesn't have to be longer than 7 minutes, so if some artists are listening to us, they could apply. That would be great. And then we have Alte Arte News. What's going on here and there?
Why do like you laugh when you can apply?
Making a reclama.
Advertisement.
Okay, but it's in Moldavia, so
yeah.
Is it in the internet? Can anybody
www.altearte.md.
All right.
So go check it and
apply.
And apply.
Apply.
Yeah, waiting.
Is it possible that artists from all over the world can join it and apply, really? You will show...
Yeah,
so
yeah.
So you have really an international art show there as
well,
in the TV.
Yeah, we all already... So, for example, we have some friends who produces sometimes a reportage and sending us from Germany.
Yeah.
So just you have something, you write it down and say that, look, I would like to make a small reportage about this and that. We say, if it's okay, yeah. It has to be quite okay filmed, I mean. Not with shaking hands camera. Like no, but yeah, there are few, I mean, conditions, technical conditions, how to. And, of course, the content-wise. And the last block of the program is Alte Arte Gallery, where we choose a piece. So we have, like, clean video pieces during 30 minutes, which makes the program more interesting. And we try to bring like interesting facts and subjects.
All right. And yesterday in this in the Schauspielfront, where you presented your work, video Plush Monster and so on, you showed this video Homesick. But homesick performance.
Homesick cuisine.
Homesick cuisine. Yeah, because you called your mother.
Yes.
And where did you, where were you when you called your mother? In which?
I was in Berlin. Yeah, in Berlin.
Still in Berlin. Okay. Yeah. You were in Berlin. You called her.
No, because originally, this film was done for Berlin show.
Ah, okay, because I was thinking how was it possible in this time to make the cuttings and the film and the underlines and...
it is possible,
so it
now
was,
we have modern technology. No, we did a special version for Frankfurt. We just changed the map. But in fact, the video was...
You changed the map, okay.
Just we changed. You see, people believe in... They don't check, they believe in image. You see, you got in the trap as well.
Yeah, but that's...
No, but it was nice just to make it...
Yeah.
To make a present for people from Frankfurt.
But if you did that for Berlin, when did your mother cook?
Yeah, just 1 week before the show.
Ah, okay. But for the show in Frankfurt or in Berlin?
In Berlin. In Berlin.
Like 2 years ago.
Like 2 years ago.
But the food was still okay.
Yeah, yeah, it was cool.
Who cooked that food now?
Now in Frankfurt?
Yeah.
Vera? Vera and Allah.
And Allah.
And
thank
Allah.
You very much.
Allah, who is Allah. Now in the,
okay,
in the bus.
Okay, the food was prepared because I was thinking, you had this this one bag and I had this.
But the wine was from my father. The wine was from my father.
Okay, so you brought the wine by bus. Yes.
By bus, yeah.
With the musician.
With the Los Habicazes. With Los Habicazes.
Okay, the Los Habicazes. They were the transport. They did the transport.
Yeah.
But that's really nice. So because I was really thinking the bag was too small for this food, for what you prepared yesterday.
Yeah, look, we are not a restaurant, huh? Next time you order a bit in advance and we cook for 1,000.
All right.
We could, no, because it would be nice performance to invite all the Moldavians who live in Germany to cook something. Because this is very easy, yeah.
It would be, really.
No, because the culture...
Most are illegal, so where can they cook? And where can they present what they cook?
No, the thing is that, like in Italy, in south of Italy, you know that it's a poor side of Italy, but the culture of food is so hype and the food is so good there.
Yeah.
And I always compare it with Moldova because food in Moldova is really good. And due to the fact that we don't have enough money for modern technology, like to have really industrial preparation of like strawberry, to have it every day during all over the year. So we have it during the time when it grows. So normally, so it's in the spring and a bit of summer. So everything is still respected to the calendar, to the normal calendar. So you have fruits in the summer and spring, autumn. In the winter, you eat all that you prepared for the winter. So everything is respected due to the sun calendar.
Yeah.
And that's why so we are privileged to eat still biological food.
Yeah.
And that's why I saw the food. That not only because of this, but the food is really good. So the Moldovan cuisine, I think it's one of the best. We could, yeah. With China, it's a bit difficult to compete with Chinese cuisine. But we, yeah, it's
you
a
try.
Good one. Yeah, we always try.
Maybe you should open up some Moldavian restaurants in Berlin or Frankfurt.
Oh.
This would be a new business, maybe.
No. And then what to do with art?
Importing? Bring her here. Or maybe you have always this traveling and export situation. Before we play the next piece, another question because of the Blush Monsters.
Blush Wonder. Why monsters? They're not monsters.
I was so sure since they're called Blush Monsters.
Blush Wonder.
Okay, sorry.
You saw monsters in them.
They are so sweet.
I was thinking, yeah, they are really sweet, but I thought they are so big, so they must be monsters. Okay,
no.
Sorry, but it's a wonder. Please, this wonder, it happens in which city? Is it Chisinau?
No. It's in Russia.
It's in Russia where they produce these plush.
Yeah, plush toys. So it's toys. In Russia, and it's the name of the city is called Sukhinich. It's 250 kilometers from Moscow.
Sukhinich.
Yeah. I'll write
Sukhini
it down
beach.
Later.
It's no beach there.
No beach, yeah. Sukhini Beach. Yeah, that's
one. Zucchinis, okay.
Zucchini Beach, yeah.
Okay, the blush toys.
And in this city, so it's also dead city, because there is no, so there is nothing there, 17,000 of inhabitants. At the beginning, I saw that it's a factory there, and that's why people are selling these plush toys, but it's not exactly like this. So these people who are jobless,
yeah.
They just some, I don't know how and when it appeared, but probably it appeared like in late 90s, I think, this tradition. This, it's not even tradition, it's like industry, like homemade industry of plush toys, and at the same time to sell them at the train station. And they're selling mainly to three trains, the trains that are coming from Moscow to Chisinau, Moscow Kiev, and Moscow Odessa. And those trains are usually the people who are buying them, they're Gastarbeiters. So
yeah, and I mean, if always the fathers who were the migrants who are coming back buying for their children these plush toys. I mean, do they always have children in the same age, or do they buy it because they want to buy it? So they have a kind of collection of plush toys.
I don't know. So no, but you can buy plush toys for.
Would end up.
If you have a young wife, you also can buy nice plush toys.
Okay.
I think so. Yeah.
Do you have fun? Yeah.
Yes. Also from Sukhinich.
From Sukhinich. Yeah.
Yeah, Pavel brought one.
Okay. And someone is walking with that in the tiger, train, yeah. And so. That's really then. And you said the story was transformed then in a fiction because of the situation that yes. There are people controlling the selling and producing of these plush toys in this town.
Yeah.
So, because it wasn't allowed really to tell the real story.
Yeah, you could not. We couldn't bring the camera on the train station. And this was the main point, because if you don't show it. So, because the stripes from the film that you see at the train station, I filmed them with my small photo camera. It wasn't video camera. We couldn't bring. As soon you bring a big professional video camera there, you are dead.
Yeah. Ah, yeah, that's interesting. Yeah, but and yesterday you said you would like to collect stories as objects.
Yeah, because you know nothing remains, and the only that. Everything is transformed. For example, old restaurants from the Soviet time, they were really nice. They were really done in a very special, like in the East Berlin, let's say. Yeah. And all of them are gone. One day, so everybody is transforming their apartments into some kind of super ugly constructions using the new technology from the West. Like, and they all look the same, absolutely the same. There is no control. For example, normally, as it should be, like in the big city, you have like main architect who is controlling how the city is developed, how the picture of the city is developed. But in this time, something is really wrong with this system, and people are constructing the small shops, kiosks at every place, restaurants, whatever, not so good. Design,
yeah.
Even no design, I would say, super ugly.
So, but what is then the object of the story, or in which way is the story an object?
No, because the story you could tell how it was.
But how will you present this story as an object?
It could be a book, huh?
It could be a book.
Yes.
Okay.
No, but this is the only thing that you could. Of course, text, it can be also manipulated every time. So, I mean, you can transform it. Every time you tell a story to somebody, then somebody is telling it to somebody else. So it means that the story grows. So somebody is adding, something is missing. But, yeah, this is the... Because to collect the story, it's an archive, it's a museum job. And this, you have to be very precise with this. And it's quite difficult. And it's again becoming half fictional, I think so. But that was just a question, and I answered very fast, so it was spontaneous question, it was spontaneous answer. So if to think more carefully about this, maybe it would be something else.
That you, if you, when you would collect?
Collect stuff, yeah.
So you wouldn't go to your family maybe and ask them or describe or transcribe?
For example, yeah, the person that I would like to interview and to collect is the grandfather of Vera, because he has beautiful stories and he has pictures and he has letters and he has his own archive, because he is an historian and he was director of the school, and he approached to his life very carefully, like collecting everything.
Yeah. So what is one of the stories you really like from your grandfather? Do you have an idea?
What plecat armata română și o armata rusă.
Like, for example, how he helped the Romanian army to leave Moldova in 1940. Yeah. Yeah, he was like very, very young, and he was working on the landschaft, and it was a day like every other days, and at one moment he saw a guy very nice dressed like an uniform, a soldier. It was a Romanian one, and he came to my grandfather and he said, "Could you please show us the road to Romania, because we have to leave." And he thought, okay, you are like one or two guys, it's no problem. And then when he went to into the street, he saw that there are thousands of soldiers.
An army.
Yeah, it's an army. And my grandfather was shocked, like, it's a Romanian army. And everybody were like, please show us the road, because we get an order that we have to leave Moldova in 24 hours. So Russians are coming, so we have to leave. We had an order. So my grandfather thought it would be like 1 hour to show the road, but his mother, she said, no, it will take like 2 days. So I will prepare some food, all this stuff. So my grandfather was, he showed the road to the Romanian army. Yes, and he has a very nice erinnerung.
Did you learn German?
Yes, so it's a problem to speak in English.
As you can speak German.
Remembers
about this time. He
said, du kannst eigentlich Deutsch sprechen. Wieso machen wir eigentlich diese Sendung auf Englisch?
And like the second day, they were on the road and they saw an airplane. It was a Romanian one. And they threw a package, and the commander of the army took this package, and he read the letter, and he said, guys, we should hurry up, because Russians are here. So they started to run, and faster. And then my grandfather, he felt how the
The earth is shaking.
It's shaking. So they were Russian tanks.
Tanks.
And they stopped the Romanian army, and my grandfather said, well, Romanians, they were really nice dressed, very and clean, officers. And the officer was like
polite
and very nice. But from the Russian tanks came two guys, they were really dirty and drunk, and they were like, you have to leave now or we will shoot you. So they let the Romanian to leave the country. So my grandfather was like participating in the historian moment, but he didn't know. So he was like, from this moment he started to interest himself in history. So he became a historian and teacher of history, and then the director of the school. And so it was funny. I remember the story now.
Yeah, very
nice. About Romanians.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Sorry for my English.
Some music now.
Yeah,
we're running out of time.
Yeah, we are running out of time. We have to run. Social security. Yeah, tonight there's another event. And tonight the artists from Kosovo are part after the Plush Wander. Yeah, okay, I see it now here. Wait a second. Tigers. Okay, tonight they are Sokol Beciri and Mikien Kelmendi aus Pristina sind eben im Schauspiel Frankfurt ab 20 Uhr. Und dann werden Hannah Hildebrand und Paul Wierspinski ihren Road to Pristina musikalisch begleitet von Diamant Petitschi, eben im Schauspiel auch zeigen. Mehr Informationen noch unter Project Relation Docking Tour. Ja, vielen Dank. Thank you very much for the talk.
And another hello to Los Habicazes.
Yeah, it's just started to play it, so you can't...
It's playing already.
It's playing, you cannot listen to it, but it doesn't matter.
Okay.
I don't mind.
Can I listen to it, please?
Yeah.
Okay.
No. No.
No?
Okay.
Hello again to Los Habicazes who are now on the way back to Moldova. Drum bun băieți!
Хахеу. Хахеу. В дойч хахой. Хахой? Да, в дойч. Окей, так, чао.